You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. I'm the former Major League Baseball editor for Sporting News. I'm a former Cy Young and Rookie of the Year voter. And I host another podcast. It's called Baseball by the Book. You should check that out as well. And I'm a lifelong Orioles fan, which is the most important thing for our purposes. Well, guys, it's December, which means we're in the midst of Hall of Fame season. And for Orioles fans, that's relevant for one particular reason. Mike Mussina, the Orioles' former ace, is on the ballot for the sixth straight year. And this year, he has a realistic chance of being elected. So today, our guest is Jay Jaffe of FanGraphs, who's a real expert on Hall of Fame voting. And he's going to give us his thoughts on Mussina and whether he's going to get in 2019. You should check out Jay's writing about the Hall of Fame, including an article about Mussina that he did last week. You can find all that at FanGraphs. We'll get to that interview in just a second. Hey, folks, just a reminder. For all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We are joined now by Jay Jaffe, who is a senior writer for FanGraphs, formerly of SI.com, and the author of the Cooperstown Casebook. Jay is, I think it's safe to say, one of the leading experts on the Hall of Fame out there. And he's been doing a series of profiles for FanGraphs on this year's Hall of Fame candidates. And, you know, all of them who have a realistic chance of getting in, I think Jay's going to write about. But I think the one in particular that we're interested for this podcast is one he wrote last week, and that was on Mike Mussina. So, Jay, I wanted to ask you about Mike Mussina and his chances of getting into the Hall of Fame. Last year, I'm looking at my notes right now, he got 63.5% of the vote last year. And as I think most of my listeners probably know, you need 75% of the vote from the Baseball Writers Association to get into the Hall of Fame. So he's getting close. The question is this the year that Moose gets in?
Yeah, when I've looked at it, I have been skeptical that this is the year. I did research and found that if you go back all the way back to 1966, when the voters returned to voting annually and the trajectories became at least somewhat predictable in terms of patterns that we could see, for the most part, candidates who were within 5 points of Mussina at similar junctures, not exactly the same juncture, but one out of three in terms of being there the same year got in the following year. Let's see here. What's it? 4 out of 19 that were within 5 points of Mussina any year from year 3 to year 7. Now, that was actually, though, when there were 15 years of eligibility instead of 10. One of the guys with the ballot tracker, Anthony Kalamis, I think that's how you say his name, has observed that since the window got reduced to 10 years, we've seen a lot of jumps from candidates in a broader range in which Mussina is smack dab in the middle of 55% to 72%. 7 out of 8 have gotten a big enough jump, 12 points or more, that would have, if applied to Mussina, put him over the top as well. So I think there's evidence to suggest that voters are treating candidates with more urgency. So there may be a chance he gets in. I still think it's more likely a 2-year thing.
So the question, and I think this, you know, anybody who follows Hall of Fame voting, and certainly most of us don't follow it as closely as you do, but those of us who have followed it understand that if you get to 63.5% of the vote, you're almost certainly going to get in. So really, if he doesn't get in this year, like you said, it's likely to be next year. So at this point, it's really, and I think you even said this in your column, it's a matter of when and not if for Mike Mussina.
Yes, there's only been one candidate who ever got more than 60% and was never elected either by the writers or one of the committees, and that's Gil Hodges. Everybody who's fallen off the ballot and gotten a chance in front of the committees so far has eventually been elected if they're at that level. And Mussina, he's just beginning the second half of his candidacy here. He's got 4 more years after this, if I'm not mistaken. So I think even if it's slow moving, he'll get in. And really, you know, this year, one of the reasons I'm a little pessimistic this year is because we've already got what appears to be three candidates with at least some urgency to them. Mariano Rivera, an easy first ballot choice. Edgar Martinez, who's in his 10th and final year and got 70.4% last year. And then Roy Halladay, who's hitting the ballot for the first time this year and has, you know, unfortunately, the circumstance of having died it just a year ago. You know, when you do a head-to-head comparison between him and Messina, it's kind of a career versus peak argument. He's got the higher peak, had the Cy Youngs, the no-hitters, you know, whereas Messina had the lengthier career. I can see him leapfrogging Messina and Curt Schilling to get in this year, which, you know, it's just tough to envision for, even though we've seen it twice in the last 5 years.
Yeah. Now, I have a personal interest in this because I am planning to go to Cooperstown when he gets in. And this year, I would prefer to go this year with the Mariano Rivera, Edgar Martinez crowd than next year with the Derek Jeter crowd, just to be perfectly honest with you.
I guess I could understand that.
Maybe enough Yankees fans will go this year that they won't feel the need to go for Jeter, although somehow I think that's probably wishful thinking on my part. I think, yeah. So it's going to be interesting. So Mike Messina is an interesting candidate in a lot of ways, and I think you've alluded to this a bit with the fact that the ballot has gone from 15 to 10 years. But in 2014, his first year on the ballot, he only got 20.3% of the vote, and within 4 years, he was all the way up to 63.5%. I guess the question is, why do you think his candidacy has I guess there's two parts to that. Why did he not get more support than that to begin with, and why did it increase so rapidly?
Well, I think as to why he didn't get more support initially, I think you know, we've been seeing ballots that are more stacked than ever. I mean, it's, you know, whether you're going by traditional statistics or advanced ones, you know, starting with the shutout in 2013 created this incredible backlog that really only now we're working through. We've already seen 16 players elected over the last 5 years, the largest 5 year batch in history from the writers. And Messina just got lost down ballot, you know, and one of the reasons he has increased is because a lot of those candidates have cleared, and, you know, and voters have had more time to recognize his merits. There's also, like I said, there's been a bit of an urgency effect. The first year that Messina was on the ballot, if I'm not mistaken, 2014 was the last year before they made the rule change, cutting candidacies from 15 years to 10. And then, you know, like I said, we've seen these guys move fast, like Tim Raines and Edgar Martinez have made very strong advances year over year, like two or three straight years in a row. Jeff Bagwell moved up pretty quickly after kind of languishing for a while. And we've seen that with Messina. And it's just, you know, I think the voters are getting the message that they need to treat this with more urgency. I think the advanced statistics are becoming more, you know, people are becoming more fluent with the advanced statistics among the voting body. You know, we've seen the sunsetting of a lot of older voters who are no longer covering baseball regularly. And so I think it's a savvier electorate than it was 5 years ago.
Now, let's just talk about Messina, his worthiness as a Hall of Famer. I know you believe he should be a Hall of Famer. I certainly believe he should be a Hall of Famer. But it's an interesting, there's a lot of interesting talk about him, I think, online, if you go on Twitter or whatever. He's a guy who kind of, it's a weird dichotomy in terms of people's views on him, I think, because you mentioned his advanced stats are very good. His WAR is quite high and that sort of thing. And I think, you know, like you said, the younger, maybe more stat savvy folks are really in favor of him. But then there's sort of this contingent of people who say, you know, he's Hall of the very good, right? He's a guy who had a really good career, but not quite Hall of Fame worthy. Why do you think that? What is your take on that? I mean, the argument is he never won a Cy Young. He only won 20 games once. His ERA is a little bit high for a Hall of Famer. Some of that never won a ring with the Yankees, that sort of thing. What is your take on why is Mike Messina a Hall of Famer?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, pitcher wins are a very imperfect measure of quality. Messina, that said, is 33rd all time in wins. He didn't win 20, but he won 19 a few times, 18, 19 a few times. You know, he won 20 his final year, but he didn't win 18. You know, he came close He had some near misses and some lousy offensive support. He got screwed out of a Cy Young Award by Roger Clemens, who got better support one year than he did. You know, if you look at his earned run average, he was playing in a very high scoring era and in a lot of hitter friendly ballparks within the AL East. I mean, you know, when he was an Oriole, having to go to Yankee Stadium or Fenway Park and pitch or vice versa, having to go to Camden Yards and pitch when he was a Yankee. You know, those aren't pitcher friendly parks. So his ERA plus ERA index to the league of 23% above average is actually the equivalent of Juan Marichal in the same number of innings, roughly speaking, 3,500 innings. You know, and Marichal was pretty much a no doubt Hall of Famer, not a first ballot guy, but also a guy who didn't win a championship and didn't win a Cy Young Award, but was on a fairly quick path to election. You know, Mussina, high strikeout guy. He's 20th all time. Some of that's a function of the era, but elite control, second among pitchers with at least 3,000 innings and strikeout to walk ratio. Just a truly strong pitcher once you adjust for the era that he was in. You know, I think that if you look closely at his game by game. Postseason log. He had a couple duds in there, but he also had some real heartbreakers where he pitched well and ended up on the short end. He only got 3.1 runs of support per game, but he had some big strikeout games. He ran into Randy Johnson and got the better of him. He pitched well in out of the bullpen in that the Aaron Boone home run game. Pitched well in the 2003 World Series, the one chance he got, and was lined up for Game 7, but. The Yankees couldn't get it to him.
And yet I think Orioles fans well remember his performance in the ALCS in 1997 when he did everything he could, but the offense.
Oh, yeah. And the losses in that series, I mean, he did, especially talk about not getting run support. It's, you know, what one of them was a steal of home in the 12th inning.
Right.
12th inning steal of home by Marquise Grissom in his first start. And then 11th inning home run by Tony Fernandez off Armando Benitez, everybody's favorite Oriole of all time, in the second one.
All right, well, that brings me to my next question, and this is a little bit outside of what you do in terms of your analysis of these guys and their worthiness for the Hall of Fame, but I wanted to ask you this because this is an Orioles podcast. When Mike Mussina goes into the Hall of Fame, Orioles hat and Yankees hat.
You know, I don't get too wrapped up in that kind of stuff, but I will say that having just, you know, somebody else on Twitter spurred me to look at this, and it's not even close. I mean, every statistic that you could offer, Mussina is better with the Orioles, you know, whether you're talking about traditional stats or advanced stats, we're talking WAR, wins, ERA plus, his strikeout rate went up as a Yankee, his strikeout to walk ratio went up as a Yankee, and he pitched in the World Series as a Yankee. That's about the best rationale. And as free agents go, he more or less lived up to the big money contract. That's the best I could say for him as a Yankee. If he had had the career that he did, putting the first half of it in New York and the second half of it in Baltimore, there's little doubt in my mind he would already be in the Hall of Fame and that he would have had, probably a Cy Young to his name, if not more, and maybe even a championship.
Yeah, and I was looking through it too, because this is an argument I've had on Twitter with Yankees fans. But yeah, everything, you know, games, complete games, wins, winning percentage, shutouts, ERA, ERA plus. He had more with the Orioles. He had all of his All-Star appearances with the Orioles. 7 of his 9 times that he got Cy Young votes
right.
with the Orioles. 4 of his 7 Gold Gloves with the Orioles. So yeah, and the other thing, and I don't know that this matters to him at all, but. I think if he does go in as an Oriole, he will likely get his number retired and get a statue at Camden Yards, because that's what they do for guys who go in as Orioles. So he would become part of all that. And I don't know if that means anything to him, but it certainly means something to the Orioles fans, who I think honestly need this more than Yankees fans do. So.
I don't disagree with you, and I think Yankees fans, you know, I wouldn't say they have a love-hate relationship with him, but there was a lot of frustration. Really, you know, towards Mussina the last few years of his career, before the big 20-win finale, you know, he had a couple seasons there that were kind of rough, and maybe if he had pitched a little bit better, they would have been, in better shape. Some postseason duds late in his career in 05 and 06, for example. But, I think for the most part, the arrows clearly do point to Baltimore. And I think the Hall of Fame generally has a reputation of doing the right thing in that department. You know, so much so that they've more or less, you know, proclaimed that they've taken the decision away from the players. So I suspect if we, you know, if and when we do see him, it'll be with the bird on the cap. Now, which bird? That's another argument, I guess.
Well, I think he only really had the what we call the ornithologically correct bird. Okay. His era, they didn't have the cartoon bird at all in his era. So I think he would have that one, which is the same one Cal Ripken has in the Hall of Fame. So he'd be the second guy with that hat.
Remember it better than I do. You're obviously the Orioles fan here.
Yeah, that's I'm probably paying a little too much attention to this stuff, but yeah, he would become the sixth player to go in as an Oriole, and seventh overall, including Earl Weaver. And like I said, they all have their numbers retired, and they all have their statues at Camden Yards. And the only other thing I could think of is that maybe he would decide, like Greg Maddux or Catfish Hunter, to go in with a blank hat. And I hope he doesn't, because I don't like that in general, and I really wouldn't like that for him.
Yeah, I think for the most part, the guys who get that are the ones who had multiple stops and more than two stops, although I mean, Maddux had several, although I guess it probably just came down to Braves or Cubs and he didn't want to piss anybody off. I'd have a hard time imagining Messina's that skittish about it.
Yeah, I hope not. Well, anyway, like I said, that's not really your thing. You're more into the actual numbers, which I guess are more important. But for Orioles fans, this is kind of a big deal, I think, so that because we haven't had a lot to celebrate in recent years. So getting a Hall of Famer in would be a lot of fun. And it's probably going to be a long time before we have another one. So in any case, thanks a lot, Jay. I appreciate it.
All right. Sure thing, Justin. Good to talk to you.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.